Hey, everybody, Dan, Charlie Kirk Show. Russ vote goes through the disaster of a budget that Speaker Johnson is finalizing. And then we talk about the curious case of Lloyd Austin. Where on planet Earth did this guy go and why was he in the hospital? It's a very strange story. And we go after it here on the Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you subscribe and join Turning Point USA, tpusa.com, and also listen to our sister episode with Danica Patrick. Really great conversation. I think you'll enjoy it. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Joining us now is Russ Vogt. Russ, welcome to the program. I want to begin talking about your lettuce tweet. You know, we went all out on Speaker Johnson. Let me read actually this headline from Mediaite. They picked it up this morning, one of our PR agencies. I know a fraud when I see one. Charlie Kirk absolutely blessed Speaker Mike Johnson over spending deal. Russ, you are kind of a spending expert. Am I being fair in my analysis?
You're being very fair in noting that this is a missed opportunity on behalf of the Speaker. And you know, we put forward a number of different options that the Speaker could choose. We want him to be successful. But the reality is that even if he were to fall back on a continuing resolution, which you and I probably are not big fans of, even if he were to do that, he would be at $100 billion less than the level that he has proposed with Chuck Schumer. That, I believe, is malpractice, that you could do what this town it finds rather easy to do continuing resolutions because the way that the debt limit works, that level, that continuing resolution level would trigger across the board cuts that would cause $100 billion less than this level agreed to by Mike Johnson. And I think that's really why this is such a bad deal. And to be clear, all of those cuts would be on non-defense. None of them would be on defense. So there is no excuse for what they have put forward.
Yeah. So walk us through your lettuce tweet. And you're right. I mean, a head of lettuce could have just said CR. And so the deal is worse than business as usual in Washington, D.C. And why is Speaker Johnson, this Christian guy who's always quoting Bible verses to us, saying this is a big win?
Because I think that he is captured by his conference right now and their fear of conflict. And as a result, he can't negotiate, is unwilling to, let's not say can't, is unwilling to negotiate with Democrats in such a way that he's prepared to them say, okay, well, we're going to shut down the government. And that's what's necessary to be able to actually have any policy wins. If you have one side that says we're going to shut down the government, we don't get our way, and our side is never, ever willing to do that, you're never going to win. And the way we work in Washington, D.C., there's only a few different leverage points that ever matter. And so it just don't tell the American people that the House Republicans are going to be trying to save the country, but they're not willing to use leverage points like the debt limit, which Kevin McCarthy gave away, or this final appropriations leverage point, which Mike Johnson is on the cusp of giving away. Just be honest with the American people and your voters. It says, look, we're just scared. We are scared. We are not going to change business as usual in the nation's capital. And I really put forward yesterday the notion that, look, I think a head of lettuce could do a better job than the negotiating team that went in with my successor, the Office of Management Budget, and the leadership team on the Senate side and negotiated this deal. I mean, this is what they would have wanted. So what did you get out of it? Nothing.
And Joe Biden is praising the deal, Russ. Joe Biden says this is a huge win. In what universe are we supposed to think Joe Biden celebrating is a win for our country?
Well, I mean, that's proof of the pudding. You have Chuck Schumer saying that not a nickel was cut. But just look at the calendar, right? It's not like there's a shutdown tomorrow. We're like 2 weeks out, a week and a half out of the first leverage point, the first expiration date. So you have to think through, like, if the Democrats are agreeing, period, you know that they have gotten what they wanted, unless they have been on the other side of bleeding as a result of a political fight. If they're agreeing to it, you know they won. If they're agreeing it to a week and a half in advance of any deadline, you know that they couldn't have gotten a better deal when they whiteboarded it in their office. That's how bad of a deal this is. And unfortunately, this is being pushed by Speaker Johnson as some kind of good deal that, you know, the Republican media establishment should praise and get on board with.
So let's continue on this. Why is there such an aversion to shutdowns of the government? What, can you just go through a brief history? We shut down the government under Trump and it actually increased our operating leverage. We shut down the government with Boehner briefly. Gingrich had a very long shutdown back in the 90s. Sometimes showing that a shutdown is something that you're not afraid of, as if it's apocalyptic nuclear war, actually can get you more concessions. And what does a shutdown actually mean? And why is Speaker Johnson so deathly afraid of it?
Your history is absolutely correct. The shutdowns that have occurred have always been either a net positive or a win in terms of Republican Senate seats that were won or an issue being magnified in front of the American people. When you have a lapse, and that's the technical word for it, when you have a lapse in funding, the federal government doesn't shut down. The troops are at their post. The Social Security payments continue to flow. The Medicare payments still are going out to pay for hospital bills and whatnot. The post office continues to operate. What goes away largely is the parts of the bureaucracy for a time that we generally don't like, the woke and weaponized bureaucracy. And as a result, the American people get a sense for what government would look like at a smaller level. But it's not as if this is politically apocalyptic by any means, but there has arisen a meme, a framework, a paradigm that this is always and forevermore nuclear and hurtful to Republican prospects. And as a result, the cartel, that's really my view for the Uniparty, because the cartel gives up price. Generally, a business cartel says, look, we're going to sacrifice what we could get if we were all competing with each other. In a political cartel, what they do is, for stability, they guard against risk. And so they say, look, you know, we're just not going to allow the high stakes risk that is involved with a government shutdown where the eyes of the world are on us. You know why? Because they don't want the eyes of the world to be on the reality of our border. They don't want the eyes of the world to be discussing what's going on with the Department of Justice. Because the average person who's listening to country music right now and not, you know, WMAL is not concerned necessarily as to the stakes of what people are seeing. But when you start breaking into their normal broadcasting and saying, oh, we have a government shutdown, partial lapse, all of a sudden they're like, man, that's a human trafficking problem. That's a huge problem that you're having, you know, pro-lifers getting squatted because they care about the sanctity of life. And that's really why the cartel doesn't want these high stakes. They know that it is our chance to educate the American people and actually accomplish our policy objectives.
Yeah. So I got to ask you, every day we hit this topic, Russ, and I warn my audience, I don't try to pick topics that are demoralizing or depressing, but this is necessary. No one is doing what is necessary on the border. Has Speaker Johnson secured any wins on the border in this latest capitulation to Chuck U. Schumer?
Zero. And he basically amounts to a white flag that he will be able to get anything done on the border in the next 2 weeks.
Can you elaborate on that, about a minute and a half, Russ? I'm kind of speechless. I don't even have a response to that.
So he's basically said, look, I'm setting this up for the funding levels, but all of the policy objectives are still in play. But if the Democrats know that you're afraid of the policy objectives, they're just going to say no to they're going to say no to all of their policy proposals. They'll just say, no, we'll shut the government down. So if you're afraid on the funding, you're going to be afraid on the policy. And as a result, this is nothing more than a white flag to Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden that the House Republicans are not serious. They are not in it to win it. And as a result, they will get nothing of substance.
And important to remember, they're bragging about cuts to the IRS. That's nothing more than, you know, little pieces of candy they're throwing to the masses. It's not cuts. It's cuts in the bonus money that was given to them. So the, there was this eight. This is so smart. The bad guys, they said, okay, if we give $80 billion to the IRS, then in future negotiations, we can make it $60 billion instead of $80 billion. Therefore, they can feel as if they're winning. They can go back to their base and make it seem that way, even though they're not actual cuts. They're not structural cuts. They are minor adjustments in the overinflated bonus money that the Internal Revenue Service is getting. Russ, plug your organization.
AmericaRenewing.com, at Russ Vote. Would love for you to check out all the things that we're doing.
Great. Excellent. Really, really sharp. You know your stuff. It's important. I'm going to tell you about My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is amazing. Traditional media is crumbling because they're hiding something, and something big. People are realizing they're being lied to left and right, even by institutions they thought they could trust. You need to know that the time is coming right now. Get started by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll save $200 on an essential 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. Over the years, My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families prepare for emergencies, and yours should be next. Sealed inside ultra-durable packaging, their delicious meals last up to 25 years in storage and provide over 2,000 calories every day. Eat right when things go wrong with the 3-month emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. With $200 in savings, you can get enough for each family member, and they deserve your protection. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. They're excellent. We use them, and I think you guys should check it out right now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Order by 3 p.m. for free same-day shipping. That is MyPatriotSupply.com. So check it out, MyPatriotSupply.com. Russ, just riff a little bit. Where are some of the most obvious places to cut? I mean, the enormity of the federal budget. Walk our audience through, how much are we spending? How much are we borrowing? And then we always are told, oh, it's just so hard to cut spending. Where would you begin?
Sure. I want to just riff off your last line, which you were explaining the way they plussed up the money on IRS. It's their version of pumping and dumping, which we would use in the market, right? They intentionally go extravagant on a program knowing they can never spend that much money. They'll spend more than they would otherwise in the IRS, but it's a future pay for when they are out of power in one of the branches. Where I would cut is the woke and weaponized bureaucracy. And so for a long time, you know, Republicans have done, I think, strategically the unsound thing, which is go after the entitlements that there's a lot of people around the country that have invested in them. And I think that's the wrong approach. And we put forward in trillions of dollars in cuts to things that are the agencies that are weaponized against them. And they are, think of the Department of Education. We're not dealing with in teaching improved math scores or teaching how to read. We're talking about culturally responsive learning. We're talking about applied critical race theory that you are pumping into our schools, and you're turning them into a cultural revolutionaries, both your teachers and your students. So it's not like we just can't afford this. It's actively harmful. Or in our foreign aid, it's not that we're going to, you know, have the next version of the Marshall Plan. No, we're funding gay pride parades in Prague. We're funding LGBT activists in Senegal. And we wonder why these organizations, these nations hate our guts. It's because we pumped the sewage into their country, or housing of urban development. You know, we think about, oh, well, this Fair Housing Network is there to make sure everyone can buy and sell in a particular neighborhood, but that's not what it does. It is a network that's anti single family homes and neighborhoods themselves. And so if you go into Arlington County, where I live, which is very liberal, do you know one of the main topics that is unites on a bipartisan basis? It's these single family home neighborhood policies that are designed to ensure that those neighborhoods are blown up with these massive apartment buildings. So I want there to be a cultural debate on the ways that the agencies, the bureaucracy that is woke and weaponized, is now harmed, is aimed and harming the American people. It's not that we just can't afford it anymore. It's just that it's actively bad. And we've never had that kind of debate. That's the debate that I've wanted to have over the last year. We've put forward an entire budget that balances in 10 and provides the specifics along the lines of what I've articulated.
So can you also just mention, I know you talk about the entitlements being put aside. I don't like that term, but you know, things that people have paid into. But the COVID relief stuff, how much money is there still under the COVID relief packages in DC?
You know, it's hard to get true numbers, but they're billions of dollars. In fact, they've just green-lighted the states and localities continuing to use that. So it is certainly something that we need to strip. But the Republicans have also been using it kind of like the IRS funding as part of their pump and dump strategy, which is to say that, you know, if we rescind that, you know, we don't have to make cuts elsewhere. And in fact, Joe Biden, that's one of the things that Mike Johnson claims that he got a small win, is they got another $6 billion of COVID funding. The Democrats are largely okay with giving that up. Why? Because their main strategic objective, which should be what we are aiming to stop, is to keep all of the funding at the agencies going at either the same or an increased clip. And that's why we're so focused like a laser on making sure that our cuts are to the bureaucracy, because that's what they're trying to guard at all cost.
It's just the reluctance to cut spending. We are going to enter a permanent new normal of hyperinflation. Russ, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, Charlie.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Brand new year and a new year's resolution are here, and I have one you should make. Join me in donating to Preborn. Save babies by providing ultrasounds and be a hero for life this year starting today. Together, during the Sanctity of Human Life Month, we're going to save 35,000 babies to show the world that even if our government and our laws don't respect the unborn, we do. Your gift to Preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. What better way to start this new year than to join us saving babies? And $28 a month will save a baby a month all year long. A $15,000 gift, some of you out there might be able to do this, will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. It will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. So start this year right by resolving to be heroes for life. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. So check it out. Join me in donating and make a year-end gift to help save babies. I just made my gift. In fact, we're making another one before the end of the year. Check it out right now. charliekirk.com. Click on the Preborn banner. There's some breaking news regarding Ray Epps. We're going to get to that in a second. He pled guilty and is getting beyond the slap on the wrist. Why? We'll cover that in just a second. But I have to do this Lloyd Austin thing. So Lloyd Austin goes in for elective surgery. We don't know why. We don't know what kind of surgery this was. Was it gender reassignment surgery? Was it transgender care? We don't know. He won't tell us. Was it gastric bypass surgery? Was it lap band surgery? Was it a urinary tract infection? But it did involve general anesthesia. Now, I'm honored to run Turning Point USA. When I had my wisdom teeth removed and I was going to be incommunicado for like 6 hours, there was a whole chain of command that we established. I'm going to be not available. My phone will be off. Call Erica, I'll be in the operating room. I won't, you know, really be processing information. You know this when you go under general anesthesia. And it was this whole thing. This guy is in charge of all the armed forces. Now, technically, Joe Biden is the commander-in-chief, but he's the head of the Department of Defense. He's the first phone call, and then eventually it'll work up to Joe Biden. So it's not just some sort of, you know, luggage thief that is in the Department of Nuclear Energy or whatever. Sam Britton or whatever. Or Levine. This guy has real power. Real power. So he goes in for some sort of surgery. Won't tell us what it is. Again, it could be, you know, augmenting breasts or some sort of crazy thing. Who knows? It's fashionable now in the Department of Defense. And he received it on December 22nd, and then complications led him to being taken by ambulance to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center's intensive care unit. So, look, I'm going to kind of take the gloves off here because this involves national security. And some people say, oh, you know, it's medical stuff. Hold on. First of all, this guy is like 65 pounds overweight. And we said that all along. Enough of this fat general stuff. You're going to run the United States military? At least look the part. Can we get 51 up here? This is a crying joke. I'm not saying this guy shouldn't have any role in the military, but what is that? What are you, a stormtrooper against COVID? This is him in Indonesia. Some sort of Darth Vader. Again, this guy has a girth. You'd think he's carrying twins. And I don't say this as some sort of a joke. I say this that it actually factors in. And I'm not a fan of Mad Dog Mattis for a lot of different reasons. Say what you will. That guy is as fit as a Marine. Look at him. He's like, all right, this guy runs 5 or 6 miles. Look at RFK Jr. We had RFK Jr. in our show. I encourage you to listen to our podcast. It was a great conversation. And that guy is, he's fit. Lloyd Austin, does that look like the best and brightest that we have? Now, we don't know why he went in for elective surgery. Again, elective surgery. That's a very important thing. It's not as if, and it would be bad if, that he just kind of had a stroke out of nowhere and we didn't know when it was Christmas. No. This, he planned it. Elective surgery, by definition, is not necessarily life-threatening. It might be impending. It might be something you have to do in the next month. But he did not tell anybody. Then he had complications in regards to a surgery around the new year and got hospitalized when he had great pain. Austin then privately and secretly transferred authority to his deputy Kathleen Hicks on January 2nd. But where was Kathleen Hicks? She was in the Caribbean. Do any of these people work? She's in the Caribbean. And even Hicks herself only learned that Austin was not just in the hospital, he was in the ICU, the intensive care unit. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff found out about Austin's hospitalization on January 2nd. Again, how are these people not talking every single day? This goes to show. I mean, if you're Vladimir Putin, by the way, Vladimir Putin, he's fit. You say what you want. The guy's got a good BMI. Vladimir Putin is in shape. He could run. He could lift. Lloyd Austin, it's a joke. Lloyd Austin needs my PhD weight loss. I mean, this guy needs to go on a low carb, no carb almost, some sort of a restructuring life plan. And some people say, oh, Charlie, you know, stop being so mean. This guy's running the military, okay? Get in shape. Stop with it. And by the way, we had this video I reacted to the other day, Daisy has. This whole, like, fat acceptance thing is so bad for the country, especially if you're running the United States military. Like, get over yourself. I mean, Joe Biden is in better shape than Lloyd Austin. Not better mental shape, but better physical shape. So apparently, the ultimate civilian authority under the Constitution was kept in dark for additional 48 hours until the afternoon of January 4th. Praise God our nation wasn't attacked during this period of time. Praise God China didn't try to take Taiwan. I mean, this is no joke. I mean, we should be thanking the good Lord that while this overweight lunatic getting some sort of, you know, surgery that he won't tell us what it is, which is really weird, right? He won't tell us. I mean, it'd be one thing if it's like, you know, yeah, I had elective surgery to fix a blocked artery in my heart. I think some people are okay. They back off. He won't tell us what it is. He's like doubling down on the secrecy. Oh no, HIPAA laws. I don't need to tell you. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan alerted the president, but the Pentagon waited to announce the hospitalization until after 5 p.m. on January 5th on a Friday night news dump. In a statement that claimed the secretary had resumed his duties, Biden did not then speak with his defense chief until the evening of January 6th. Who is running this government exactly? I mean, that is an honest question. Joe Biden, who does not know where he is, you have the secretary of defense in the ICU for unknown reasons. You got Kathleen Hicks in the Caribbean, literally in the Caribbean, where she was vacationing until January 6th. So I have another common question. Do these people not have daily conference calls? I mean, we're in more communication at Turning Point USA. I am not kidding. Fact. If I all of a sudden went dark in one of our group chats beyond Shabbat into mid-Sunday, into late Sunday, somebody at Turning Point USA, Andrew or Blake or Ryan, be like, where's Charlie? He's been kind of quiet. Somebody should call Erica. And within 12 hours, if I had an elective surgery, we would find out. This is so glaring on multiple levels. Who is actually doing work at the Pentagon? You can have a head of the Department of Defense just disappear and nobody knows? Do they not have some sort of daily 5-minute, hey, here's our threats, you know, sea lanes in China. Oh, by the way, we're financing a proxy war in Ukraine. Here's how that's going. Israel is at war, in case you forgot, and American hostages are being held in Gaza, in case you forgot. That's right. American citizens are still being held hostage by Hamas. And you have the head of the Department of Defense go under for some elective surgery? Most common elective surgeries, according to the trusty dusty internet, cosmetic surgeries, cleft lip repair. Nope, don't think that's going to be his. Ear tube surgery. Tonsils, probably not. Weight loss surgery. He would be a prime candidate. Hernia repair. Undescended testicle surgery. Nah. Eye surgery for cataracts. Spinal fusion surgery for scoliosis. Or surgery for sports injuries. Probably not. So third in command after Lloyd is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff found out about his hospitalization on January 2nd. But the White House, the ultimate civilian authority under the Constitution, was kept in dark for an additional 48 hours. The same day, here is the kicker, the U.S. military conducted an airstrike against militants in Baghdad. So we got airstrikes and we got, I mean, this is a very, very dangerous combination. You have three really dangerous things that are combining. And I wish the third, and I'll get, the third will be the most obvious. You have evil people who are incredibly stupid, who are also unable to do their job. So you have all three. So they're trying to do bad stuff. They're not even good at doing the bad stuff, and they can't even do the bad stuff physically. Tony Blinken didn't even know this. These are laws that may have been broken. It is so incomprehensible. The most incomprehensible fact is that Deputy Defense Secretary Kathleen Hicks did not find out her boss was hospitalized until January 4th. And she's on some bender in Barbados or something. We don't even know. She's vacationing in the Caribbean, doing tequila shots or whatever Kathleen Hicks is doing. She's getting drunk till 2 a.m. Meanwhile, she's in charge of the entire U.S. military and she had no idea. It's like, hey, Kathleen, you're in charge. Like, nope, sorry, doing a bar crawl in Turks and Caicos. She's in charge of the greatest fighting force the world has never seen. Now you learn. Can we get a picture of Kathleen Hicks? By the way, what island was she on? What was she doing? I mean, again, everyone deserves a vacation. I totally understand that. But she was not told why, and then she remained on vacation. She kept on vacationing in a foreign country. She looks like a high school principal. No offense, it's fine. Great. Does this look like the menacing force that we need against the Chinese Communist Party? Meanwhile, she's sipping margaritas by the pool in the Bahamas. Yeah, let's get that picture up there. Again, fine, whatever. Terrific. Be nice if we knew if you were in charge. And she kept... That's the kick. I got to be honest. That really is the most amazing part of the story. So Kathleen Hicks gets a phone call. Hey, by the way, Lloyd Austin's been in the hospital for a couple of weeks. You're in charge. She has to make a decision. Do I keep vacationing or do I not? Nah, I'm going to keep vacationing. Is anyone running this military? Does anybody care? I mean, who's in charge here? This is no longer a laughing matter. This is an existential national security threat. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friend Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just stop at the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream bed sheets, made from the world's best cotton called Giza. These sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And for now, a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98. These sheets come up in a variety of sizes and colors and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Podcast Square and use promo code Kirk at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and MyPillow towel sets. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I love MyPillow, and I surely hope you guys check it out. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Kirk. Support Mike Lindell, my good friend and great American patriot. Remember, the sale won't last forever. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I don't know for certain about Ray Epps. There's something smells about it. Something doesn't feel right. There is no evidence to suggest that I can say right here with 100% certainty that Ray Epps is a federal agent. I can't say that. We don't know that. But there's something that just smells about the whole thing. So Ray Epps has now been sentenced to 1 year probation and a $500 fine. Meanwhile, other people that have entered the Capitol and didn't touch anybody have received harsh sentences, and Blake is getting together other examples. The New York Times hates all white men except Ray Epps. They wrote this article, a Trump backer's downfall is the target of a January 6th conspiracy theory. Prosecutors recommended 6 months behind bars for Epps. So Ray Epps, who we have on tape, this is a fact, saying that we should go into the Capitol. Go into the Capitol. We have him saying that. We have him in a text message. I want to make sure I get my facts right. But we have him in a text message saying something of the sort to a family member that I am responsible for this. Something of that variety. I want to make sure we get our facts 100% crisp here. And he got a less punishment than Owen Schroyer, InfoWars host, who never entered the Capitol and got solitary confinement in a federal prison. Right now, Siaka Massaquai, an amazing black patriot who poked his head inside of the Capitol for 10 seconds and walked out, is facing years in prison. This is cut 57 of Ray Epps. Play cut 57.
Yeah, well,
just say, come on,
we're far beyond that.
If you're about
we're far beyond that.
Oh, yeah.
You know that.
I know.
In fact, tomorrow, I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
We need to go. I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in to the Capitol.
So he says it the night before on January 5th. We need to go into the Capitol. Now, amazingly, some of the people then respond to him by saying, Fed, Fed, Fed. And ironically and tragically, the very same people that said Fed, Fed, Fed actually ended up going into the Capitol and are now serving federal prison. Ray Epps told people the night before to enter the Capitol. He told people the day of to enter the Capitol. He was in town to see Trump speak, he says, but he wasn't at the speech. He told people vaguely to leave certain weapons behind before we, quote, go in to avoid getting shot. He was initially pushing one of the most, he was initially pushed as one of the most wanted figures on January 6th, and then he was removed from the website. Was he a Fed? We can't say either way. Period. We can't. We're not going to say positively or negatively. We don't know. We don't know. But the idea that this is just a baseless conspiracy theory is a lie. And now this slap on the wrist sentencing only is fuel to the fire of such foundational speculation. They're pushing an actual lie about January 6th that this was an insurrection by Trump. He is one of the only people that we have on camera and the only person that I know off the top of my head explicitly saying the night before that we need to enter the Capitol. So they're trying to put Donald Trump in prison for incitement. What about the guy that didn't even attend the speech that was almost acting like a field general? This feels and senses, we sense it's almost like a cover-up. That if they did nothing, it would be too obvious. But if he pled and the right arrangements were made, Ray Epps could get no prison time, 1 year probation, and a $500 fine. So the most immediate important question is, will every other January 6th defendant that is now facing the same sort of trials be treated similarly? If they plead, will they be treated the way Ray Epps was treated? Probably not. Because what we have Ray Epps doing on camera is far more suspicious and borderline incriminating than what some of these other people have been sentenced for. Trespassing, interfering with an official proceeding. Ray Epps is charged with a misdemeanor for disorderly conduct. In a vacuum, that's not an undercharge. That's what everyone on J6 who didn't literally assault an officer should have gotten. But instead, only Epps gets it nearly 3 years later. This thing smells. It smells, it smells, it smells. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.